The caravan of my prayers is moving toward thee. The caravan of my prayers is moving toward thee. In the eyes of kindness, I behold glimmers of thy mercy. Even the bare trees of dark lives flicker with the myriad glow worms of thy shining life. The caravan of my prayers has been working its way slowly through dry wastes of arid doubts and furious sandstorms of despondency. Yet at last, far off glimpses of thy oasis of silent assurance have roused me in my drooping efforts. Eagerly, I await the moment when I can dip into thy reviving waters. I can dip into thy reviving water my parched, thirsty lips of faith, and there drink deeply from thy well of bliss. Good morning, great souls. It's so good to be with you. My name is Vivica Devi, and I live here in the Ananda Palo Alto community. It is wonderful to be with you today. So the reading of karma and the law of karma and incarnation, when I was preparing for today and reading Swamiji's reflections on this, one of the things that he says is how intricately connected these two laws are. That when we talk about karma, and in essence, the idea of karma is that what we put out into the world, and it says in the reading today, what we reap, we sow, right, comes back to us. But it doesn't always obviously come back in the same lifetime. So karma isn't necessarily immediate, the experience of what we've put out into the world. Whereas reincarnation answers that. It answers that anomaly of why does it seem, Swamiji says, that, you know, why one person can do so much good work and put out so much effort and dedicate themselves in all the right ways, but they seem to only draw to themselves difficulty or hardship. And then, these are extreme cases, then why someone else who seems to do all the wrong things draws to themselves ease and material success, talents and abilities, when they don't seem to put out any effort for that? And in the teaching of yoga, of karma and reincarnation, the answer is that they have drawn this to themselves over time. So anything that's coming to us is coming as a result of what we have put out in our thoughts, in our behavior, in our actions. And let's see. So ultimately, as I was sitting with these teachings of karma and reincarnation, I was thinking about why does it matter? Why is it important? What do these teachings offer us? How are they helpful? How have they helped me in my journey? And there are a lot of different ways in which they've been helpful. I would say primarily what they've provided in my life is a context for my experience. So that in the teaching of karma, and this is an interesting and I feel a very important point, Yogananda said, and Swamiji said as well, that karma is always a blessing from God and our own highest self. So it's a correction, karma can be, a way of helping us to stay on track with our own soul nature and our highest aspirations. So if I've done anything off track, anything away from the yamas and niyamas, then there will be a repercussion to that, not to punish me, not to hurt me, not to be cruel and unkind or insensitive, but in a very loving way, as a loving parent would offer information to bring the child back to the path that is their highest path. So karma can be confusing. Without that context, even with that context, it's not so easy to welcome the teaching, to make space for it in our lives, and find comfort and strength in it. It's been my experience that the teaching offers that. But I have often needed divine friends to help me with that teaching. I remember years ago, my mother was diagnosed with inoperable aneurysms. Now, she had already been dealing with cancer, but she was navigating that pretty well. And I lived on the East Coast, and she lived out here in the West Coast. I grew up out here. I was on retreat in Rhode Island, actually. Jyotish and Devi were out for a Kriya retreat. In Rhode Island, such a sweet, beautiful community. It was very small, so any activities there were incredibly intimate. You just, my husband James and I lived in New Jersey at that time, so I had driven up for the weekend, and on our day of silence, it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event, I received a phone call from my family that my mother had just been diagnosed with inoperable aneurysms, and the doctor said she had anywhere from 24 hours to a week to live. So that's why you call the family, right, to say everyone needs to know this. So I was understandably reeling a bit from that information, not sure what to do. Here I was for Kriya. It was a reinitiation for me. I had already received Kriya before, you know, but very holy, very sacred, very deep, and very important for my spiritual life, this to receive this and deepen the practice. So those who were there, Prem Shanti was one. She and her husband, Om Prakash, ran the retreat. So, and then Jyotish and Devi as well. And there were just a few participants. I mean, at the most, there were five of us. They, at different times, offered a sense of holding for me a context for the experience. So one of the things that Jyotish and Devi said is it is a great blessing for your mother that you're here, that you would be so deeply committed to a spiritual path, and that you would be receiving and deepening a technique of Kriya, which is a deepening dedication to the masters and a relationship with God. So that in terms of soul relationship, on a soul level, as her daughter, it's a great blessing for her soul. So the mind, the conscious mind, is very aware of 3,000 miles apart. Right? Well, I'm way over here, she's over there. What's the response that's the best response? And so they said, with that in mind, you might consider staying and completing, receiving Kriya, rather than leave immediately, because 24 hours, you know, that's not a lot of time. And they really didn't know. That's what the doctor said. So then I'm risking staying on a retreat that certainly personally was meaningful for me. I hadn't thought of it in those terms, like, well, if I stayed, it could bless her soul. I have to say it was a new understanding for me. But I received it, I listened and said, okay. And with that was a delivery of so much space, so much kindness, so much understanding, no pressure, no feeling that whatever I decided would be a wrong decision. So I really felt I could leave and everyone would understand, and there would be no negative in that. They were simply offering something I didn't know about, I hadn't considered. So then I remember later, you know, we were in silence, so I was, okay, then in silence and deeply praying, and then I had a conversation with Prem Shanti, and she shared a phrase I've since heard a number of times but had never heard until that point, where Yogananda said, an easy life is not a victorious one. And she was saying to me in that teaching, this is difficult. Of course it is difficult. This is a difficult decision to make. What's the right choice? What's the loving choice? What's the wise choice? No easy decision, because no matter what choice I made, it was so obvious that there would be a feeling of what have I lost, or wondering about what did I, you know, what is the cost of this choice? So what she was offering, because we were just sitting actually side by side in silence for a while, which I appreciate again of the teachers and divine friends that Ananda has brought into my life, right? The capacity to sit very quietly with someone, but be so present. And I just remember us sitting there for a long time, and then she said this sentence. And I looked at her, and I could just feel so much in it, right? And I think I said something, I don't remember what I said, but something to the, oh, like that's not an easy thing to hear, right? It just wasn't, because it was a hard moment. But it was a teaching to help me rise, right? So what she wasn't saying is, how unfortunate for you that this has happened. That's not what she was saying. I'm so sorry for you that this has happened. Now, of course, there was the compassion around losing my mother. That was absolutely there. But what wasn't there was how unfortunate it is. That was not there. In fact, there was, what a blessing you're here. So I stayed very deeply in discernment. And what I called James and spoke to him and made the decision to stay for Kriya initiation, which was that night. So we were in silence that day, and then the initiation that night. So I did that. I stayed, and then after, left. So drove home. I'm smiling behind my mask because I actually got lost on the way home, and at one point called James before GPS, which has been a blessing in my life. I thought, I'm heading into New York. There was a moment where I thought, I seem to have missed New Jersey. I am now heading into New York. So I didn't get home till about 2 a.m. But you know, I was filled with grace. I was. And it was a moment in time where the context of the teachings provided something that my soul could align with, that in the conscious world, I wouldn't have received. That just isn't the norm that people say that. It's, but in spiritual teachings and in these teachings, it held me. Now my mother, it turns out, lived for another 3 weeks. She didn't pass away right away. But there were lots of divine miracles in that journey. James and I went came out here to California, stayed nearby, and a lot of blessing happened. And I am certain that today, I can certainly say, staying and being in that environment and carrying that energy with me to a very difficult experience, right? It was a difficult experience. And within my family, oh my goodness, there was so much that unfolded, which I've seen can happen with death, right? It can really be a challenging time. The other thing I've seen with death, and I've seen this with birth, is there is a, it's been my experience that there is an extra level of grace that comes for all those going through it. So for the person who's dying, and then key people in their life, there is a portion of grace that is very available if you look for it, if you reach for it. I've seen it, I've just seen it, and certainly it was there for me. It didn't take the difficulty away, by any means it did not. It was a stormy time, a very stormy time. And yet within it, one of our yoga affirmations is, at the center of life's storms, I stand serene. I could feel very deep inside that serenity. And I was reminded of a prayer I had been taught. The author, there's some debate about the author, so it's often thought of as the St. Francis prayer. I often think of it as a St. Francis prayer. I've heard since that it's possible William the Conqueror wrote this prayer. which Yogananda was William the Conqueror in a previous incarnation. He told us that. And the prayer is, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. Just that, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. Where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. Where there is discord, I may bring harmony. Where there is error, I may bring truth. And it goes on to talk about all the situations that would be natural to respond to in kind. Right? Hatred, hatred. Cruelty, cruelty. But this prayer is asking for a deeper response, a soul response. The capacity to love in the face of hatred, unkindness, injustice. And it's a great strength, obviously, to be able to respond in that way. And that prayer was very healing for me, and it actually came into my life around my relationship with my mother, actually. So it had been recommended, and it had provided a deep healing, a profound shift in our relationship, primarily because of the consciousness it brought to me. And so it came back to me as a gift in this same time, coupled with Kriya, coupled with ministers and teachers and divine friends who very honestly can speak to challenges in a way that offer light, in a way that remind us of what we have inside. That prayer, I didn't know it when I started saying it, is a promise of our capacity. We can do that. We really can do that. So masters do it, right? Great teachers do it. One of my favorite stories about Nareem, I always have difficulty with that guru's name, so you'll, just me saying that, you'll probably understand. But let me just say, a guru in India, Ram Dass's guru, one of another disciples of his, told a beautiful story about meeting the guru and saying, it makes me laugh because it seems a little, I don't know how to say it, but like a little disrespectful almost, that he met him and, yeah, the guru loved everybody. It was obvious, right? It wasn't very impressive to him. So I just didn't, when I first heard him say that, I thought, wow, okay, that's interesting. But then he said, but what I noticed, he said, you know, he's a saint, he's supposed to love everyone. But what I noticed that when I was with him, I loved everyone. He said, that did impress me. Because that's not, he was saying, that's not my way. That's not how I normally move the world. But whenever I was with him, I only saw the light in others. I only saw this inner radiance. I only felt love for them. So that is what the guru offers, divine teachers offer, divine friends offer. They see the light. They see this higher understanding. And they offer it as a way for us to grab onto, right? To guide us through the storms, to guide us through the difficulty. One of my favorite things that Yogananda said is that behind the clouds of difficulty, the light, divine light, is always shining. So that divine light of God and the divine light within our own self is always shining. It might be obscured for a time by clouds of difficulty, clouds of darkness, but it never goes away. And that is such an important message to me of hope, and it's inherent in these teachings of how to walk with ourselves and with another when they're going through a difficult time, or even how to walk with ourselves or another when everything seems very easy. It's okay, but I've heard Swamiji say that, you know, when someone says, you know, everything has worked out, everything is going easy, you know, Master is doing this for me. And he said, well, of course, that's the, you know, of course you want to be grateful for all the gifts. But he said, really, Master is concerned in soul freedom. So an easy life is not necessarily a victorious one. I want to balance that with him saying, don't go looking for difficulty. There's enough difficulty in life. So if things are easy, it's fine. The teaching is to look more deeply at our experiences. And the way, ultimately, to do that is through the practice of meditation, which helps us to lift our consciousness to super consciousness, right? And to access a deeper intuitive understanding. In the reading today, it said only a master can really know what karma is. What is the karma that's unfolding? What's playing out? What we can know from the teachings and from the masters is there's a blessing being offered in everything. And I don't have to pretend that things are easy to acknowledge that and welcome the blessing. That's both can really be happening at the same time, where I might or you might need support to walk through it. But by holding that this is coming to me for some purpose, there's some meaning. And that's the point in many ways of karma and reincarnation. Life is not without meaning. The things that happen are not without purpose. And so knowing that, standing in that, can be very, very helpful so that we're not pushing against and fighting against. And I really feel that Prem Shanti was giving me that gift in that moment, that she was helping me to not push against what's happening, because the most natural thing when situations are challenging is to have the thought, why is this happening? But with an attitude of frustration or an attitude of pushing back, as if it's wrong, because it seems wrong. Why, in the middle of this glorious, sacred, amazing experience that, you know, was no small thing to get there, and now it's like, you know, it's being completely disrupted. Just in this moment, I will say karmically in my relationship with my mother, you know, like, there's actually a theme in that, right? That's not out of character in terms of how things were. And so how to, even without understanding, trusting there is a purpose and a meaning. I don't remember how it came to me at one time in my spiritual life, but it served me very well. And it connects for me with these teachings, which is what I need to know, I will know. And what I don't, I won't. So asking the question, why is this happening? Will something happen? Just the various kinds of questions anyone can have, I've had. I've really learned, and I've seen it true, if I need to know, I'll know. If there's something karmically that I need to understand about it, like a life lesson, perhaps, I'll know it. It'll be revealed to me. It'll be told to me, shared with me. Enough that I get it, right? If I don't need to know, I don't need to know. I can trust the teachings. I can trust the masters. I can stand firmly in that. And that's all I need to know, right? And that will guide me. It does guide me very well. And I feel like when I look at karma and reincarnation, there's just so many points of reference we can look at it, and it can be quite fascinating and fun and, just kind of all these different angles. But ultimately, the teaching is one of soul liberation, right? The theme, is it bondage or soul release? And the teachings of yoga, the teachings of the masters, is it's soul release. So then the invitation is to find a way through with these laws that feels freeing, that feels like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you. And to hold that consciousness in every moment, and then we'll receive what is being offered, the grace behind it. So it's so good to be with you today. I wish you just a beautiful continuation of this week of gratitude and grace and blessings to you and to all your loved ones.
My love gone, longer than nights. Now that she's left me, dimmed my delight. Where is my love friend? Passed she this way? Saw you her smile? Oh, what did she say? Her promise when first we met, whispers of heaven made me forget heartaches and labors, earth's searing pain. Rest now, she said, you've found love again. Not heaven did shine, piercing the darkness, love then was mine. Could she not linger? Must even she rise and depart like mist on the sea? My sweetheart, pass she. Life's made of dreams, friend, dreams that must break, quickly dispersing when we awake. Strange that when love calls, memory stays, crying across the tides of our days. Oh, pass she here, my sweetheart. There by my bed, she left me a note. Can you explain these words that she wrote? Seek me, she said, love, out on the sea. Boundless the reaches of true love must be. My sweet.